the first angel of judgment is sitting on a cloud wearing a golden crown, which is the wreath that's given to victors in the Olympics. He had a sharp sickle. The sickle was a curved blade used for harvesting grain and cutting grapes. It is sharp. It means that it is an instrument for reaping the harvest, which indicates divine judgment. So that sickle that that angel holds in his hand represents divine judgment.
Incurred in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 2.
All right. I wanted to go back. There was a question that was asked last week about the Catholic Church and the Second Coming. I believe I said that the Catholic Church is amillennial, which means that they wouldn't look at the Second Coming the same way that we do. And so St. Augustine, he was one of the leaders in the Catholic Church in the around the third or fourth century AD. And Augustine was an amillennialist, which means that he didn't believe in a literal thousand year reign of Christ. Now he started out, he was a premillennialist, but somewhere he changed. And so he didn't believe that Christ was going to come back and reign for a thousand years. He believed that the millennium referred to the Christ presence as far as a spiritual kingdom, you know. So he didn't see, again, a literal kingdom. He saw Christ the millennial as being a spiritual kingdom, and that the that we are already in the millennium. That's what all millennials believe, that we are, right now we are experiencing the millennial. But you know, if you go back and look at that lesson that I taught on the millennial, you'll see that there's some serious problems with this belief right here. One of the things during the millennium, it says that Satan will be bound. And we know that he's not, I don't know about you, but I had a bout with him this morning already. So you might have already had a bout with him today. There's some serious issues with the amillennialist view that says that we are in the millennial kingdom right now. Also, Augustine, he believed that the second coming would take place in AD 650. He believed that. And so, he didn't necessarily believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, where he would come to set up his kingdom. And we see that amillennialism became the predominant view of the Catholic Church. Early on in the history of the Catholic Church, they were amillennialists. They followed the beliefs of St. Augustine, and he didn't believe in a literal millennial kingdom. He actually believed that Christ came and set up a spiritual kingdom. So we got into some discussion about that last week, and I just wanted to come in and kind of clear that up. Now, Catholics do believe that Christ is coming again. They believe that, but they don't believe, you know, according to the way that we would see scripture saying it. So they believe that he already came, and that, you know, he's reigning and ruling from heaven right now, and his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. As we look at the difference between premillennial and amillennial on the second coming of Christ, we would believe that at Christ's second coming, he will return literally and rule and reign for a thousand years. All right, that's what we would believe. Whereas the Catholics would believe that Christ now is ruling from heaven, and his millennial kingdom was initiated by his death and resurrection, and will conclude at some point. He will return, but not in the sense that we would see it. So I just want, I know we got into some discussion about that last week. So I wanted to kind of get into that and straighten that out as far as one of the things that I had said. All right. If you have any questions, you can save them to the end on this particular topic right here. And, you know, I will, you know, answer any questions that you might have. All right. So we've been looking at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We started out last week by looking at the second coming. And, you know, we went over this premillennial view of prophecy. And, you know, we talked about major events on God's calendar that, you know, we are in the church age now. The next event on God's calendar is a rapture. And believers will be taken off of the earth and go to heaven, where they will receive the believer's rewards and will be involved in the marriage of the Lamb. On earth will be 7 years of tribulation. And then at the end of the tribulation is the second coming of Christ. And again, when we say second coming, we mean when he literally will come back to earth. The rapture, he's not coming back to earth. You know, he's going to catch us up in the air. But the second coming, he will literally come back to earth. And then that's when the Battle of Armageddon will take place. And we're going to look at that today. And then after that, Christ will reign for 1,000 years. Then the Great White Throne Judgment. And then we step into eternity. So again, you see where the second coming of Christ fits in. That's what we're talking about. And a part of the second coming of Christ is the Battle of Armageddon, which we will give most of our attention to today. Let me just catch us up here. So we made some distinctions between the first time Christ came and the second time he came. We said the first time he came in the manger. The second time he comes riding on a horse. The first time he came in humility. The second time he will come in glory. The first time he came as a servant. The next time he comes will be as Lord. The first time he came in weakness. The next time he comes in power. The first time he came as savior. The next time he comes as king. The first time he came, he brought salvation. The next time he comes, he will bring judgment. The first time he came, he was only recognized by a few. The next time he will be recognized by many. The first time he came in peace, the next time he will come with a sword. So that's what we talked about last week. So now let's look at the second coming of Christ and the Battle of Armageddon. So you should have received the notes. We didn't send out any notes last week, but you should have the notes for the second coming of Christ and Armageddon. And you know, we hear a lot about Armageddon. I believe there was a movie about Armageddon and the world. You know, everybody talks about the apocalypse, you know, the destruction of the world. And so if we look at Hollywood and we look at a popular media, and I'm sure if you go surf the internet, you'll find a lot of different ideas and views about Armageddon. But today we want to look at what does the Bible say about Armageddon? And again, remember that this is a part of the second coming of Christ, the Battle of Armageddon. The campaign of Armageddon. So, you know, we talk about a battle of Armageddon, but if you really look at the scripture, and you know, I've written a book on prophecy, and in the book I go into a lot more detail about this. But it's more than just one battle, right? It culminates. Armageddon culminates in a battle in the Valley of Megiddo. But there's several things that happens that leads up to this Battle of Armageddon. You know, for instance, how do you get all those people to the valley so that when Christ comes back, you know, you have this battle? Where is the Antichrist in all this? What is he doing? How does he figure into all this? And so, you know, in the book, I actually talk about what leads up to the great battle. And so it's actually a campaign. And so even though we speak of the Battle of Armageddon, it is more like a campaign. It begins with the second coming of Christ, and it includes several events battles and culminates in a battle of the valley at the in the Valley of Megiddo, aka the Battle of Armageddon. So again, we talk about it as a battle, a one-time battle, but actually, you know, there are events and there are battles that actually lead up to this final battle. So I just, you know, I wanted to say that because I'm going to focus more on, today on the battle that we have traditionally come to think about. We see that Armageddon was predicted by the Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah called it a day of vengeance. Joel identified as a destruction from the Almighty. Amos talked about it as a day of darkness. Zephaniah referred to it as the day of the Lord's anger. Zechariah said, in that day there shall be great mourning in Jerusalem as mourning in Hadad-Jerimon in the Valley of Megiddo. So it was talked about, you know. So again, maybe these prophets didn't fully understand what they were predicting, but they did talk about the fact that there would be a great battle where God would take his vengeance upon the rebellious armies of the earth, upon the Antichrist, upon those who would persecute Israel. And so it was predicted by the Old Testament prophets. What is the purpose of Armageddon? There's a fourfold purpose for Armageddon. One is to destroy the beast and the false prophet. We read that in Revelation 19 and verse 20. During the tribulation, the beast and the false prophet will wreak havoc. You know, we talked about the beast, the Antichrist, and the number 666, and how that he will deceive the world, and you won't be able to buy or sell. How the false prophet will get everybody to worship the beast. And so the Battle of Armageddon will actually deal with the beast and the false prophet, that it will, they will be destroyed for all the wickedness that they promoted on this earth. It will put down once and for all Gentile powers. Many nations of the world have set themselves against God. You know, Psalm 2 said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The rulers, notice what it says, the rulers of this world have set themselves against God. So the Battle of Armageddon will be a final act of putting down all powers, kings, authorities that have set themselves against God. The Battle of Armageddon will be the ultimate gathering of the nations against God. At this battle, Christ will appear and conquer all the nations. And so, you know, again, I go back to the idea that Armageddon actually is a campaign. It's more than just one battle, but it's a campaign. And a part of this campaign, you know, we read in the book of Revelation that the Euphrates River will be dried up, and that the armies from the east, which is China and other armies from the east, will cross the Euphrates and come to this valley, you know, in rebellion against God, in persecution of Israel, you know, and to make war. And so this at this battle, God will once and for all put down all Gentile powers. This battle will also get the nation of Israel to receive their Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. Zechariah 12 and verse 10 says that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. The first time the Messiah came, the Jewish people failed to recognize him. It is during this battle, because partially he's going to come back and do battle for Israel. You know, Israel during the tribulation will be, Jerusalem will have fallen, and the Jewish people will be driven into the wilderness, and they will be persecuted. And the Messiah will come back, Christ will come back, and they will see his power and great glory. And it's at this time that they will confess, repent, and turn to their Messiah. And then It is as we spent, I believe, two whole weeks looking at the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. So the Battle of Armageddon will establish the kingdom of the Messiah. You know, it will set up Christ's kingdom. After this battle, Christ will establish his millennial reign. Psalm 2 says, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." And that that will happen after Jesus comes and execute his victory at the Battle of Armageddon. So these are the purposes of Armageddon. Now, the Bible is interesting because, you know, it doesn't necessarily lay out the Battle of Armageddon word for word. You know, you got to go to different places and read and kind of, you know, piece things together. But in Revelation 14, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you would turn there. Revelation 14. It talks about the Battle of Armageddon. It kind of gives an overall synopsis. There's not really a lot of like individual details in this passage, but it gives an overall synopsis of the Battle of Armageddon. And so Revelation 14, beginning in verse 14. "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. The harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vines of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in the sickle into the earth and gathered the vines of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." Wow, the great winepress of the wrath of God. "And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 6,600 furlongs." Here again, this is an overall description of the Battle of Armageddon. Kind of, you know, pretty much what this is given here is kind of like the results of what's going to take place. And so the key features here is that we see two angels with sickles in their hand. Two angels with sickles in their hand. So let's look at that and see what that means. The first angel of judgment is sitting on a cloud wearing a golden crown, which is the wreath that's given to victors in the Olympics. He had a sharp sickle. The sickle was a curved blade used for harvesting grain and cutting grapes. It is sharp. It means that it is an instrument for reaping the harvest, which indicates divine judgment. So that sickle that angel holds in his hand represents divine judgment. And we see that the angel calls out of the temple for him to thrust the sickle in the earth, right? So this angel, so again, this is, you know, I believe this is symbolic language that will have a literal effect, you know? So this angel thrust his sickle on the earth because the harvest of the earth is ripe. You know, actually it could mean that it was overripe. And so when you look at the rottenness that we see in the world today, you know, Elise talked about, you know, the shooter that was down, you know, in her community. When you think about all the wickedness and filth that's going on in the world today. You know, when you think about the fact that our government is actually entertaining legislation that after a baby comes out of the womb, that the parent still can take his life after it's born and out of the womb, that they're entertaining legislation that you have so many hours after the child is born that you can still take, this is just utter wickedness. And then, you know, when you think about, I heard the story about a man who was transitioning into a woman and got arrested and had to go to jail. And instead of them sending him to a prison with men, they sent him to a prison with women. He ended up getting a couple women pregnant. So, this stuff goes from the ridiculous to the sublime, thank God for the church. Thank God for people who are trying to live right and do right. But, saints, this world that we live in is a wicked place. I mean, it's wicked. And, men's imaginations are wicked. When you think about some of the things that's happening, when you look at this whole idea of human trafficking, how that people will take girls and little boys and use them as sex slaves. I could go on and on and talk about the wickedness of this world. But, God is going to reap his harvest one day. And so he's going to tell this this angel to cast in his sickle and to reap, and to bring judgment on this earth. So that's the first angel. The second angel came out of heaven with a sharp sickle in his hand. All right. An angel calls out of the altar for him to just like the first angel thrust his sickle and gathered the vine out of the earth. The grapes of this vine were ripe, but this is a different word for ripe. This means the word for ripe here means that they were fully grown. So in the first sense, it meant that the grapes were rotten. I talked about what it means to be rotten. Here, the grapes are fully grown, which means that, the iniquity has come to its fullness, right? It's come to its fullness. And God said, I've had about enough. I've had enough. And so the angel thrust his sickle and cut the vine and gathered the grapes into what? The wine press of God. And they put the fruit of this earth into the wine press of God's wrath. And the wine press was trampled on by foot, and it was drained in a basin. And so again, this is indication of this battle of Armageddon, where God is going to bring judgment on this earth. And so again, like I said, these are kind of more of the results of what's going to happen, that God's sickle is going to be thrust in, and then he's going to bring his divine judgment on this earth. What is the action as a result of these two angels thrusting in this sickle, which is going to take place at the Battle of Armageddon? The blood.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the Second of Armageddon, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Second Coming of Jesus Christ, The Battle of Armageddon, Part 2 from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit EncouragingJesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, EncouragingJesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is AnchoredInJesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.